Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Have you been scared, shaking, and hesitating on the edge of starting your own business? It's time to jump in. It's time to find your maniacs, and I have created 1,000 Maniacs specifically for you. I will show you exactly how I went from zero to 1,000 email subscribers and turned them into maniacs. Then I will show you exactly how to create and sell your first product with the Tiny Product System. 1,000 Maniacs will teach you everything you need to know about setting up an email list, autoresponders, what to send and when, developing a relationship with your list, and how to create what your maniacs want and then sell it to them. Claim your free roadmap right now. Go to 1000maniacs.com and get on the list to get priority access to the next live webinar. That's 1000maniacs.com. Your maniacs are waiting.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I am your host, John Naster. But you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a bootstrapper, software developer, and a brilliant, brilliant entrepreneur. From writing his first line of code at the age of 11, my guest has spent the past 14 years building several multi-million dollar software businesses. He is the founder and CEO of Axosoft, where they develop software for software development companies. Their flagship product, OnTime, is in use by more than 10,000 software development companies right now. My guest is also the founder and CEO of PureChat, where he has recently raised $1.55 million to push growth and development of this business. Now, let's hack. Hamid Shojaei. I'm going to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, One Day Builds. Creating your business's website can be painful, but it absolutely does not have to be. Before, you had two options. Build it yourself using a free website builder that never turns out any good or professional, or you have a traditional website company design and create your site for thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. One Day Builds is a new solution to creating a professional WordPress site in one day that is more collaborative, fun, and cost-effective. You are assigned an experienced designer that is dedicated to building your dream WordPress site. They will work with you to create a mock-up design, build your site on a private URL where you can see the process, then launch it to your domain name at the end of the day. Whether you are looking to move your site to WordPress, go mobile-friendly, or just need an updated look, One Day Builds is the stress-free, efficient way to create your site. Pricing is simple, $1,500 for a website up to 20 pages. You come with your content, and they take care of the rest. The first 15 listeners right now to fill out the form at onedaybuilds.com/hack will save an additional $150 off their website and a free WordPress cheat sheet. That is onedaybuilds.com/hack. That's onedaybuilds.com/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest. Hamid, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Absolutely my honor. And I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, sorry. Let's jump into it. Hamid, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I think a lot of it has to do with mindset. Mindset of constantly trying something and improving on it, getting results, and sort of making sure that you don't let the results bring you down, because they most of the time do. The results are generally not what you hope for them to be, and you just sort of take that input and improve on it and iterate and just plow forward. So much of entrepreneurship has to do with just persistence.
Yeah, I fully agree. So this is interesting. And obviously, I love the idea of don't let the results get you down, because you're right, the results might not be what you want. But like, what is it? What would a result be that you are talking about? Like, you personally, as the entrepreneur, what's a result or a metric that you sort of bounce off to know if you're heading in the right direction?
So results can come in a variety of different ways. It depends on like what stage of entrepreneurship you're in. If you're like at the very early stages, you might be experimenting with product ideas that might sort of fall flat in terms of market acceptance or anyone else seeing that product as something of exciting, something that is exciting. In those cases, you iterate through your product quite a bit until you start going in the right direction. And so much of entrepreneurship has to do with dealing with disappointment, because something that you are super excited about, oftentimes most other people are not. And you have to determine whether or not you're right or they're right, and sort of move forward and make some changes, and hopefully you can get different results. And oftentimes they are right. So it turns out that you have to just keep at it and go through a variety of different things until you sort of pinpoint something that tends to get you closer to the type of results that you were hoping for. Now, if you already have a product, you have a company, as I do, for example, now, a lot of those experiments today are around positioning or marketing statements or website changes or like pricing changes and things that you're hoping will move you in the right direction. And some of those things do, and some of them don't. And it's just a matter of just working through all of those items.
Yeah, I like that. Look for something that will move you closer to where you want to be. You don't have to exactly, there is no exact place to hit, really. It's just a constant movement of getting closer to where you ultimately want to be.
Right. On rare occasions, somebody will nail it, in their first try, or oftentimes it's because the idea has been simmering for some time and they have fine-tuned it in their head, and by the time they release something, it nails it. Like, so those become the sort of unicorns, if you will, of the of our industry. But most of the times, it's just painstaking, and it takes time.
Yeah. Okay, so Hamid, we need to go back if we can, because I want to know if you can pinpoint this time, but there seems to be a time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize like one of two things, that either they have this calling to make this difference in the world, or they find that they simply cannot work for somebody else anymore. So I'd love if you could take us back to when that happened, and then also if you could tell us which side of the fence you see yourself on.
Yeah, great question. So I grew up with parents who are entrepreneurs, and I'm sort of an immigrant myself. So my parents were entrepreneurs back in Iran, and when we came here to the US, they were sort of unemployable because they didn't speak English very well, and they didn't have the sort of typical skill set that would make them employable at most companies to make a reasonable living. So they were sort of forced into entrepreneurship in the US as well. And I grew up around that, essentially, and I got to see how it works. And, like my parents in particular, they were in the retail business. So I got to see the whole sort of life cycle of a retail business, and, where you get your products at a lower cost than what you sell them for. And the lower you can get that cost, the bigger your profit margin can be, or the more aggressive you can get on pricing so that you can compete better with your competitors down the street. So I feel like a lot of that sort of was built into my psyche as I grew up. And I just sort of imagined working for someone else was always a temporary thing. And in fact, I started my first startup when I was like 15 years old. And of course, it was a failure. But my second one, I dropped out of college to start at 22 years old. And that too was a failure. And then eventually I went to go work for Microsoft for a few years and then did the third startup, which was Axosoft, and that became a success. So it took a while for me to get there, but I definitely saw myself as an entrepreneur throughout.
Yeah, having parents that obviously, were forced into it through their unemployability, which, nowadays we look at that as like a positive, but obviously when you're forced into it, it's not necessarily, but in the end, it probably ended up being, but it helps push you in that direction. So how supportive were your parents when you then dropped out of college?
My parents were always kind of supportive of me throughout my life. I don't know, even when I was 15 years old starting a business sort of like after school-ish, which was, sucking up all of my time that could have been used on, I guess, getting better grades. They weren't even sort of against that. So they've always been very supportive of me, and I was fortunate in that way. I don't know if like sacrificing school for business was necessarily a really good thing, but essentially it worked out. If the purpose of school was partially to get a good paying job, it worked out. But I always loved the sort of knowledge aspect of going to school and learning. So I think of that as a lifelong thing anyway, and I'm always looking for ways to learn things that interest me.
Yeah. And as much as guidance from parents is a useful and very valuable thing, so is support equally. And like, once you've determined what you're going to do, for them to just support you and back you in anything, I think really helps you kind of propel forward.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So did you work in retail with your family?
I did. While I was going to college for some time, I did that. And I, even high school, I was at my parents' shop every now and then for some extra pocket money, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I got some sense of, you know, like, I'm relatively an introverted person, but being in a retail environment where you have to actually talk to people sort of helps nudge you in the opposite direction. So that was a good sort of learning experience that probably has helped throughout my career. I don't know for sure, but to some degree it has helped. It's not very difficult to start a conversation necessarily with someone now, whereas instinctively that's difficult for me just as a somewhat of an introvert.
Yeah, and probably even making sales, like face-to-face, you have to sell things in retail.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Pushes people out. But was there any, at any point, was there ever a thought of you going into retail? Or did something push you from retail to be like, I need to go online and get into software?
Yeah, online wasn't a thing when I was growing up, and I got introduced to computers in the 80s. So I guess actually I take that back. Online was a thing, but it was when you used modems to dial up what was called bulletin board systems at the time. It was like
that. Someone
who, yeah, set up a computer at their, you know, basement and would have like two or three phone lines, and people would call into that computer to get online to their sort of neighborhood people who also had computers and chats and put forum messages, if you will. But I got introduced to computers when I was like 10 years old, wrote my first line of code when I was 10, and I got sort of hooked to it. And loved it and always thought that I would do something in software. And, you know, it was sort of a dream to someday own my own software company and have it be a success. So that dream sort of started probably when I was in high school timeframe, 14, 15 years old. And then I was always working towards that.
Nice. I love it. I love it. It's so cool to see the vision. And you took me back to my friend's basement, like, as you were saying that about the bulletin boards.
The BBS story. Yeah.
The BBS, and it's like, oh, I can just feel it. It's
yeah, it was a really fun thing. I ran a BBS on an Amiga 2000 at one point in time, and
the Amiga 2000.
It was like such an interesting. We had software that people could download and play, games that they could download, and I had like one of the bigger, more popular BBSs because I had a hard drive on my computer that was 20 megabytes in size, so I could hold a ton of software applications. It was kind of interesting.
Wow. But I love it because you had like this clear vision of like from 10 through high school to where it really crystallized to that's what you're going to do. And now you're doing it. That's an awesome story. I love it. So, at the beginning...
It took until...
Pardon?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was going to say it took until probably late 20s before it was actually realized, but several attempts in between.
Yeah, and so if we want to follow Malcolm Gladwell's thing, I'm sure you put in your 10,000 hours by that point.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it wasn't just one night. I'm going to do this.
That's right.
That's a lifetime of work. It's awesome, but it's the follow through, and it definitely proves. So at the beginning, you said this one reason of the success is that mindset of constant improvement. So now every expert that talks about business, they talk about doing like the 80-20 rule, right? So do 20% of the work, get 80% of the results. You're supposed to do what you're good at and delegate the rest. I would love it right now, Hamid, if you could tell me something that you are absolutely not good at in your business.
Yeah, that's a great question. It's, you know, something that even happened today. I'm not the greatest delegator. I do delegate to some degree, but there's things that, you know, like you pick up along the way that you feel strongly about, and at some points I probably get on people's nerves for sort of nitpicking at some of the things that I feel strongly about, right? And that could be on the product side, it could be on the marketing side, it could be on the development side, you know. So some of those details, sometimes, for the most part, I leave it to others. But sometimes I get into it and make changes that might be in disagreement, if you will, with the people who normally run that particular aspect of the company. And those are sort of tough challenges, if you will, to get through. Those are the things that make it not as fun. But the way I look at it is that, you know, everybody is shooting for great end results. And you know, there's going to be some of that arguments and challenges and disagreements to get through in order to get the best results you possibly can. So it's not necessarily an all bad thing.
Right. It's not going to be just a straight, nice line all the time. There's going to be struggles right. Because everybody's going to have their opinions and thoughts and just, I mean, their skill sets, right, are going to differ.
Yeah.
But do you, as the CEO, do you have like your hand in product, in marketing, in development?
For sure. For sure. And, you know, I think much of that has to do with everything that I read growing up that helped sort of set me up and my psyche up for how I operate. And, you know, the people that I read about were, you know, the Bill Gates and the Steve Jobs and in the 80s and 90s and how they operated their businesses and how intimately familiar they were with every aspect of the business, from the legal side to the sort of, you know, from the legal and contract side to the product, to the marketing, to everything in between. So to some degree, you know, like that became infused in my head that you do need to be intimately involved and understand the, all aspects of the business in order to sort of be able to get the big picture.
Yeah. Yeah. That's smart. Okay. Let's move to projects. I mean, so projects is a loose term, but I would maybe like to talk specifically Pure Chat, because if I know the story correctly, Axosoft has been around for like 13 and a half years now.
Right.
And it's a successful software company with many different products underneath of it, or several. And I think Pure Chat came out of that, but then separated as a separate entity about a year and a half ago, right?
Correct. Correct. So Axosoft is focused on the developer tools space. So we have an agile project management tool and a Git client, essentially. And then on the Pure Chat product, every year we took sort of 30 days off and we experimented with different projects to help the dev team learn new things. And Pure Chat was one of those side projects that really took off and got a lot of traction. People started using it, and it was a free product at first, and it just spread like wildfire. And after a while, we were looking at it and we're like, wait, we think we have something here. It's sort of showing up on websites that we visit every now and then. And we thought, okay, if we're going to give it a shot and give it a chance for success, it really makes sense to separate it out into its own company and really go full force at it, because we think that it's something that could be used by millions of potential customers and small businesses who want to engage with their visitors and just even know what their visitors are doing on their websites. So we separated it out into its own company to sort of pursue that in a full force way.
So 30 days of experimentation every year.
Every year, yeah, we take sort of the dev team. We have the dev team take 30 days off so that they can learn about new technologies and
wow,
experiment with new projects from scratch. And yeah, people are pretty blown away that we do that. But we see, like, I see no other easy way to make sure you can keep up in this ridiculously fast-paced industry. So development tools that are in use today, for the most part, are going to be outdated within 5 years. So if you're heads down doing your own thing for 5 years, chances are you're using the wrong stuff 5 years from now. And that's just sort of like a matter of fact. So if you don't like take your head up for a while and learn new stuff, and that can't be just in a like 24-hour, one-day hackathon type of thing. It needs to be for real, and you need to actually do something from scratch, not just an additional feature to the product, so that you know at least about the new technologies. And then decide appropriately whether or not those things make sense on your main day-to-day product. So that's how we solve that problem, essentially.
I love it. And it makes so much sense. So how then does Pure Chat come out of that? So if people sort of hack and just like work on things and sort of side projects, ideas, anything they want to experiment on, how, I'm sure lots of things happen in those 30-day spaces. How does something happen, and like, what is it that you notice or somebody in the company notices and says, oh, wow, we should pay attention to this?
So we've done our 30-day projects in a variety of different ways. But the ways in which they seem to have gotten the best results is when we say, okay, we're going to have the dev team get into like sub-teams, if you will, all of whom are going to be focused on a particular 30-day project. So the goal is to build something usually within their 30 days that's actually useful, using new technology. So the way PureChat came about is that the team wanted to experiment with Node.js, something that we weren't using before. And they, you know, there was a lot of talk about Node a few years back, and it was new, and it seemed like something interesting that we should know about. They wanted to learn about WebSockets. So, you know, how best to sort of learn about these technologies? We'll put together something that uses real-time communication, and live chat was sort of one of those things that could make that happen. Oh, and by the way, we could use it on our own website. That's a nice sort of side effect of learning those technologies and getting something that's useful. And then, of course, we made it available for other people to use as well. Oftentimes, we do that with these 30-day side projects. And usually, almost always for free, because we want to make sure that it doesn't become a distraction for the main company. If we start charging for them, they're a distraction, because now you have to support it and all that stuff. And usually, we want to be able to kill those projects. But with PureChat, it's stuck, right? Like, lots of people started using it, and more people used it every week than the previous week, because it's sort of naturally viral. And then we saw lots of opportunities for improvements and just continuously adding to it and making sure that it continues to grow. And that's when we decided, okay, we have something real here. It's its own business, and we should separate it to see where it can go.
So if I'm correct in hearing this, you're actively trying to kill off these side projects. Like, they're there to learn, they're there to figure out a new technology and to implement in something real, but then to kind of hopefully give it out for free and let people use it, but you don't want to support it and you don't want to sell it.
Correct.
Because it will become a distraction.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
Unless it really takes off, like PureChat, and it's kind of like, well, we got to.
That's exactly right. And you know, we've had another product, Transfer Big Files, that took off in that sort of same sort of way. But we decided not to separate that one out because we felt like we lost the window of opportunity that it closed after sort of Dropbox and other things came into play. But yeah, essentially, the idea is not to create new products. It's just to sort of, it's for learning purposes. But if we accidentally happen to create new products, we don't want to, the killing will be determined with whether or not they get traction as a free product, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. And also, it does, now that PureChat's another side business, meaning that your team, I'm assuming the teams are quite like enmeshed together, where it's not.
No, it started out that way, but it's no longer a side business. So a year and a half ago, we separated out with a team of six, and we've grown that team now to 13 people that are just on PureChat. There is no intermingling, there's nobody sort of crossing, if you will, between the PureChat and the Axosoft teams. They're two separate companies. We just happen to sort of share same office space, but yeah, it's we operate as independent companies with independent goals and focuses and all of that stuff, marketing teams, everything.
Wow. So, but this is interesting, because now when it comes time to your next 30 days with Axosoft, you have the same opportunity for another PureChat to come out of it ultimately. I was thinking that it was going to be hard, and like the next idea is going to have even bigger success, because now you're like, well, we're running too many more companies now, so for it to get attention.
Right.
But
so one of the things that we've done with Axosoft is that we've focused the 30-day projects on now, you know, this is sort of, you know, from over the years of having done this for so long, realizing that we should keep the 30-day projects focused on the main line of business. That way we don't have such different businesses that we have to separate them out into their own companies. So one of the current products of Axosoft, in fact, is another result of a 30-day project called GitKraken, which is a Git client. And it started out as a 30-day project that we felt has a lot of potential. And again, it was using new technologies like React and Electron and GitLib and a number of other things. And we felt that there's going to be an opportunity there. So for the past year and a half, that project has actually continued to get dedicated developers on it. That is now its own product, and you know, it's its own success story, if you will.
Wow. And does PureChat as a separate team, does it get its 30 days to experiment?
It sure does. So
that's awesome.
So again, staying with, you know, with that same line of thinking, is that like for PureChat, what we're doing with the 30-day projects is that we're staying in line and in focus with our, what would be attractive to our customer base. And our customer base is all about sort of engaging with their website visitors and converting those website visitors to sales. That's the main objective of these websites that use PureChat for live chat. And so the latest 30-day project that has resulted in a major new feature set of our product is visitor tracking. So like when somebody comes to your website now, this is a feature we're releasing literally next week. It's been in use by thousands of our existing customers, but all of our new customers will start getting it from next week. But basically what it does is if somebody comes to your website, you can now see who's on your website, how many people, who they are. If you've ever had a chat with them before, you see their names. But based on IP address, we can show you the location. We show you what page they're on, how long they've spent on that page, where they came from, what the source was, all sorts of insight information about those visitors, which has been like phenomenal. And again, this was a result of wanting to learn various different technologies like Mongo, NoSQL databases, and you know, various new dev techniques, if you will, that has been the result of, or that the dev team wanted to learn about and has resulted in an amazing feature set for the PureChat product.
I love it. I love it. You have a brilliant setup going with this one main company that can now create other companies from it based on just allowing it. Because exactly, like going back in the conversation when you said most people don't know how you could possibly take a month off to do just that, because you said it's the fast pace of the industry. And to most people, that fast pace is why you cannot take 30 days off. And to you, that's exactly why you have to take 30 days off, which makes so much more sense.
Yeah, exactly. And it's hard to sort of like get at first, but once you have been doing it for a while, it becomes ingrained that like, okay, this is a really important thing we're doing. But one thing to clarify, though, is that the intent is not to spin off new companies, but rather to, especially now, as like, for example, spinning off PureChat was not a wonderful thing. Like I see that as like, that was pretty painful to split it off into its own company and like have two separate teams and, you know, completely independent. So in fact, the 30-day projects are now getting more focused on let's create new projects and things that would be in line with our customer base so that we don't have to spin off another company.
Right.
Because there's a lot of overhead in doing that. And of course, you can't be in multiple places at the same time. So ideally, having the 30-day projects create things that are useful for your customer base is a better way to go.
I love it. All right, Hamid, this has been a lot of fun. I want to wrap up on one final question for you. It's this idea I'm calling the entrepreneurial gap, which seems to be this gap sometimes that as entrepreneurs, as dreamers, we're always projecting our successes into the future, right? So in 1 month, in 3 months, in 6 months, in a year, in 3 years, when you hit whatever metric or goal it is you set for yourself, right before we hit it, we always set bigger, loftier ones into the future. And much like walking towards the horizon, as you walk towards it, it keeps getting further away. From the outside, we look at you, Hamid, and you look absolutely brilliantly successful. Yet I know on the inside, we usually want more. And not that it's just more, but we want to push ourselves further, which we have to do. But sometimes we end up in this gap where we never, ever, no matter what we accomplish, see ourselves as successful.
Right.
So you've come a long ways from 10 years old, writing your first line of code, going through BBSs, through high school, through dropping out of college, Microsoft, and now 14 years almost with Axo and now PureChat. I would love it if you could stop right now, Hamid, turn around and look behind you and tell me how you feel about the wins, the losses, the highs, the lows, but tell me how you feel about your journey up until today.
Yeah, that's a really great question. And I love your lead up to it as well. It is true, you know, like once man made it to the moon, it was like, all right, where to next? Mars, right? And if we made it there, it would be like, all right, where to next? And I think that's part of human nature to always want to achieve more and sort of continue. And it's probably a good thing that, you know, our nature is that way. Otherwise, progress would be rather limited. And I love, you know, like where my life is and has been. And I've loved every minute of it, even the sort of journey parts of it where there was lots of downs and ups and there wasn't necessarily financial success for a long time. And all of that was just as fun as it is now with the financial success. So I wouldn't say it's better now than it was. And I definitely do want to accomplish a lot more. And, you know, early on, some of these sort of goals were around, you know, like getting to that first million or whatever, like in terms of revenue. And to some degree, you know, when you start on a new project, in order for it to survive, you do have to have those type of financial metric goals. But a lot of more of it for me, especially now, has to do with the usage of a product. So if I create a product that touches a million people, that's a lot more powerful and satisfying feeling than necessarily $1 million, right? So it's been a wonderful journey, and I've loved every minute of it so far, looking back, and I love where it's going in the future as well.
Brilliant answer. I love it. I thank you so much, Hamid, for sharing. And we've got to talk about your business in passing, but I know the listener is wanting to know more about Axosoft, PureChat, and also if there's a place where they can reach out and connect with you personally.
Yeah, absolutely. So Axosoft is the dev tools company. If there's interest there, just axosoft.com. PureChat is about live chat and sort of visitor information about who's coming to your website. And that's at purechat.com. And if you need to reach me, I'm on Twitter at Hamid S, HamidS, as in Sam. So that's me.
Excellent. Excellent. I will link to everything in the show notes. So when you get a chance, you can stop by there. Axosoft, PureChat, and Hamid S on Twitter. You can reach out to Hamid personally, follow up with any questions, or just tell him you heard him on the show and tell him you enjoyed the conversation as much as I did.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. So thank you again, Hamid, so much for taking the time to stop by. Thank you for sharing. And just please keep doing what you're doing, because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed that as well. I have the pleasure of speaking to a lot of smart people throughout my week. But Hamid was a notch above most. Just a brilliant, super, super nice guy, but wow, just brilliant. Brilliant in his management thinking, then his the software development side of it, and plus just sheer growth and thinking like an entrepreneur. And oh man, just so many things. I hope you enjoyed that as much, and I hope you got as much out of that conversation as I did, because I'm still kind of reeling from it. It's like, wow. Again, not at all what I was expecting from Hamid, and just absolutely blown away. Loved the conversation, and I really, really, truly hope you got as much as that from that as I did. So, going back, which I need to do, I needed to go back and I needed to re-listen to this conversation. And I needed to really really take in what was said by Hamid on sort of a deeper level and see what I could sort of distill the conversation down to. So I went back and I listened. And then I went back and I listened again. And then I went back and I listened one more time. This third time through, there was this one thing that was so clear to me when Hamid said it. It was just so very, very clear that it was just that one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Yeah, people are pretty blown away that we do that, but we see, I see no other easy way to make sure you can keep up in this ridiculously fast-paced industry. So development tools that are in use today, for the most part, are going to be outdated within 5 years. So if you're heads down doing your own thing for 5 years, chances are you're using the wrong stuff 5 years from now.
And that's the hack. Hamid, Hamid, Hamid. I love this. I don't even just simply love this for the surface reason that it's a brilliant way to keep your team on, not only on target, but also on the technology and ahead of the technology. Like you said, if you are heads down for 5 years, odds are the technology you're using is going to become obsolete and irrelevant. And that's a huge thing. And that's what a lot of companies run into. But even beyond that, I want to go back to the very beginning, because you say, people are pretty blown away that we do this. And this, what you were talking about, seems like a very, very essential element of Axosoft and your success and, PureChat's success. And I love that you say people are pretty blown away by it, and yet you still decided to do it and you still implemented. This is what I'm after, because this is what it takes. I don't care if you don't make software. It doesn't matter. But you have to know, and you have to follow that gut feeling, when you get that feeling that tells you that this is how you should do something, that this is how your business should be run, I want you, in the face of when everybody's blown away by what you're doing because they're like, oh, that's not right or that's not going to work, that you do it anyways because it feels right to you and to your business. That is how you do these big things. That is how you become successful. I don't bring you these hacks so that you can copy every single one of them. I bring you these so that you can have insights into showing how the workings of other people ahead of you or before you have done things, only to show literally the stark differences in mindset, in the ways people approach businesses and ideas and growth. It's literally the differences, yet still with an end similarity of being successful in business and creating things out of nothing and bringing them to the world to create some sort of difference from their product or from their service. Yet they all come from and they all approach it completely differently. And you can and you should. Your business is just an extension of you, and it needs to be approached confidently in the way that your gut tells you to go. That's what we were after. Thank you so much, Hamid. Thank you so much. All right. It's been an absolute blast. I thank you so much for stopping by. As always, it's an absolute pleasure and honor that you decide to stop by with us. And hacktheentrepreneur.com is the website. Please head on over there. Check out Hamid's show notes. Check it out. And I got links to all of the stuff he's up to, his different businesses, Axosoft and PureChat. If you have an e-commerce business or even a service-based business online at this point, PureChat is an excellent, excellent resource and tool that really you should be using. I'm actually looking into it right now to get it set up on hacktheentrepreneur.com because I'm kind of really, really, really impressed about the product. And I think that it could be really useful to my business and probably to yours too. So definitely check out PureChat. But yeah, it's been great. I'm so happy that you stopped by. And yeah, until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.